Welcome to Salem First Assembly Podcast. May this week's message by Pastor Brian D. Corkin be a blessing to your life in helping you to grow in your understanding of God's Word, strengthen your faith, and equip you to become all that God has created you to be.
Before I share the message this morning, let me share something with you. First of all, as you know, voting is coming, and I said something last week, and I want you to also know that this is a very important election to vote your biblical values. And people said to me afterwards, they said, values, well, everybody has a different value. They may have a different value, but what is God's value? You see, what is God's value? Because so many people are getting so confused by what they hear from this person and that person, and they get confused. No, listen to what God says. God cares about life. Life. Right from the womb to the nursing home. From the nursery to the nursing home, God so loved. Our voting should be according to the values of God. And so you have a great ability. You have a really beautiful blessing to make a difference. Don't tell me, well, people tell me so often, well, you know, I don't like nobody. Listen, I've heard this for years, years and years. I don't like anybody. Guess what? You have to pick the best that's there, period. Amen. You got to do something, because doing nothing is never an answer. Amen? So let me just say this. Remember, one, how do they see life? Do they see it valued the way God do it? Two, do they have a respect for religious freedom? Three, do they have the ability to make right decisions, good decisions? Not every decision is going to be right. There's not one person who does everything right. Can you find someone who does everything right? No. But people don't do everything wrong either. But do they have the ability to make really good choices to lead? Or do they go according to popular opinion? These are three things that guide me. I pray that they're a blessing to you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm so ready to hear this morning's message. That was a prelude message. Let's get into our series. We talked last week about Jabez. Jabez is placed in a chronological order in a sense of a history, of a genealogy, and when you look at it, in these eight verses representing five generations, 38 names, the Spirit of God desires to talk about this man that we know very little about. Two verses. Here you have eight verses with 38 names, and then boom, Jabez comes up. And I want you to understand something. It says something in his prayer, starts off that Jabez was more honorable. Last week, we talked about what it means to be honorable. How do we live a life that's honorable to the Lord? Would God say, son, daughter, you're living an honorable life? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Not honorable to the way we think. Well, I do this, and well, I do this, and hey, I'm a pretty nice guy. Hey, I'm better than this person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about honorable is what does God see as honorable, and are we living an honorable life before the one audience of one, the one that really counts? Someone say amen. Amen. So we talked about a definition of honorable, a high moral character, someone who's trustworthy, someone who's honest, someone who's dependable. These are characteristics of someone who's honorable. If they say something, you can guarantee it's going to say. You can trust their word. They're going to do what they say, and they say what they do. That's really honorable. If they say, hey, listen, I'll pick you up for work for 3 o'clock, they're going to be there at 3 o'clock because they said they're going to pick you up. They're trustworthy. You see, Jabez, we learned from last week, followed God. He had a heart for God. He had a relationship with God, and we talked about he made God his daily dependence. Someone say daily dependence. It's really important because we have to depend on God daily, not just when things are going good. And we talked about his name. His name means pain. An accurate translation for his name from Jabez, from the Hebrew, is that not only pain, but affliction, sorrow. That his mother gave birth in great sorrow. And because of whatever situation that caused his mother to give birth in this great sorrow, she named her son Pain. Now, you don't want to do that to your child, okay? But because when you have this name, or people call you names, or you hear names, it can really start to, you start to believe it. And there's two battles we talked about last week. And if you didn't get the message, you can go on Facebook, you can go on YouTube, Podbean, get the message, get the first message, which is the first brick of where we're going. Because, see, we talked about the two battles. The first battle we have to realize is the interior. Those are the words we speak to ourselves. You know, some people have negative words, and they tell themselves daily negative words to themselves inside. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty. I'm not handsome. No one likes me. I think this person really doesn't like me over there. You know, I can't do that. I don't have the abilities here. I can't. You know, I'll never be that good. I'll never be that good, Lord. I can't. All these negative words, you know, I'm a failure. I've just made so many mistakes, And it's an interior battle. He had his name mean pain, and I guarantee you he had to go through some pain when he grew up. A stigmatization of just his name. So there's an internal battle that we have to get through, and I'm really sure that he dealt with that along the way of this internal. But there's also an external, because now you have people around you reminding you of your faults, reminding you of your past, reminding you, hey, you're a pain. Matter of fact, when you were born, you started the pain. Your mother was in suffering, and you know what? You're still a pain. Matter of fact, you're a big pain, and you know where. So you have this thing that takes place when people hear words, and they speak to themselves, and they hear what others say. There's an internal battle. There's an external battle. And you have to be careful, because you need to remember, what does God say about you? What does God say he can do in a present situation? And you have to be careful also, we talked about last week, is regret and depression. Because, see, the devil wants to make you feel really bad. Oh, you know, you made some mistakes, and here comes the internal battle here. Made some mistakes, and you feel really, really bad. But the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Someone say amen. Amen. So your past does not define you. Someone say, praise the Lord. So I want you to understand that there's a regret that people have. And sometimes the devil uses that regret and tries to bring us down. And then it leads to depression. And then it leads to a pit of despair. And then all of a sudden, you're going through life like, nobody knows the suffering. Yeah. And you kind of take on that persona. But today, I want to talk to you about the blessing of God. You know, because of what a lot of evangelists on TV and have done, and they have taken this whole prosperity thing and just gone to the opposite side of the moon. But you know, there's also some real value on what God wants to do with us. How he wants to bless you. Do you know he really loves you? Do you really, when you look in the mirror, do you really understand that God really loves you? I know you right away say, well, yeah, he probably loves someone else better than me because they're better than me. You know, stop. The Greek word for that is stop it. You see, he really is crazy about you. Problem is, you just don't think so. Listen to Chronicles. Let's go and read this portion of Scripture. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain. And God granted his request. I want you to understand something. These two verses don't belong in this when you look at the text. I mean, it's a genealogy. But all of a sudden, God gives some information about this one man that he prayed, that his name was Pain. Why did God bring that out? Because it had to be a reason that he and God worked out together, where he became a person who daily depended, in the midst of the mess, daily depended, and then he asked God for some things, and God granted his request. This is beautiful. So this morning, I want us to focus on God wants to bless you. So I want you to say, God wants to bless me. I want you to get that in your heart and stop thinking, well, yeah, he may want to bless me, but he's not going to bless me like that guy over there. Let me tell you something. You shoot yourself in the foot when all of a sudden, when you add something to something that God has never said. Augustine, St. Augustine, if you know who he is, a church historian there, a church really monk priest, said this: God is more anxious to bestow his blessings on us than we are willing to receive them. He was saying God wants to do more for us than we actually even look at him receiving. I mean, God has more for you. Someone say, God has more for me. You got to believe this. You see, so often we look at this word blessing and we just don't understand what it means. So what does blessing mean? What does it mean for God to bless us? Not the way that the world is, because, you know, whenever you see the prosperity gospel, they're always like, nab it, blab it, grab it, it's yours, be anything, you know. And there's an extreme, but also God does say, bring your request before me. Ask anything in my name. There is a criteria. This in the Bible too, you know. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, because that's what people always do. That's what the believers of God do. They take it and they throw the baby out with the bathwater just because of some of the stuff that's out there. Hey, listen, if there's a counterfeit $20 bill and there's a real $20 bill, which one do you throw away? The counterfeit. Well, let's not do that to the scripture, and let's not look at every $20 bill as being bad, because God does want you to prosper as your soul prospers. Someone say amen. Amen. That's biblical. You see, so I want you to look at Bruce Wilkerson in the book, The Prayer of Jabez, gives an encouragement for you to pray this prayer for 30 days. The people who have done it has experienced immense blessing. They believe it. God bless me. God, may your right hand be with me. May you increase my territory, my influence, and may you keep the devil away. May you protect me from evil. That's a good prayer to pray. And last week, I encourage you to stop praying that. And I pray this really changes, because this has really been a blessing to me. Because before I give the meal, I live the road. I want you to understand something, that we sometimes have no problem blessing someone else or praying for a blessing. How many of you have ever asked God to bless somebody? Okay, yeah. I think everybody here has probably asked God to bless you. But here's a question. How many times have you said, God, bless me? God, I don't really plan. I'm not praying for them. God, I want you to bless me, God. All of a sudden, the statistics go down. You say, Pastor, that is self-seeking, self-centered. That's just not right. Matter of fact, I don't even bring everything to the Lord sometimes, because, well, when I think of my problems, they seem so little. And when I think of this problem over here, well, Lord, they seem so more, they need it more than me. Really? See, that's our thinking. That's not God's thinking. And that's the problem that we have sometimes, because we're so quick to pray a blessing on other people. We're so quick to do it. But we're not so quick to say, God, bless me. But here's the thing. You can't give what you don't have. You see, the reason to be a blessing is that you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God, a blessing before the Lord, and a blessing to people you meet. That's what blessings are for. A blessing is not just for you to get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. A blessing is to receive what God has for you so you can be blessed, so they can look at your life and say, hey, I don't know, but that dude has something, because the dude's blessed, or the dudette is blessed. And all of a sudden, they start looking at your life just like God wanted to use Israel. For all the nations, God wanted to bless Israel so that Israel would be the shining light and he would make all the other nations jealous. However, Israel didn't never. Israel never rose to the occasion. It faltered throughout the process. I want you to understand, it's not self-seeking. It's not selfish to say, God, bless me. And we're going to talk about that today, because we're going to listen to the words of Jesus. We're going to listen to things. And I want you to understand, it's a good prayer to pray so that you can be a blessing. Because, you know, when you can, let's suppose someone has a need. And let's suppose they need $20. It's $20. $20 is no big deal. But you don't have $20. Can you bless them with $20? Can you buy their meal? Can you help them out? But how about you just been blessed with $50? All of a sudden someone needs $20 because they have no gas. Can you help that person out? So because you were blessed with a 50, you now can help someone to get gas. Do you see how blessings go? Blessing is a reciprocating thing. It is not to be hoarded. It is to be used for God's glory and God's kingdom and the people that God brings into your life so they can see the goodness of God in your life. Sometimes we sell ourselves short. Listen, Jesus said this. We have not because we ask not in James 4:2. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The little word that says all things. What's all? Everything. It's the littlest word that means everything. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all those things be added unto you. See, things are not bad. It's when you love things more than God. That's when it's bad. You know, it's what drives me crazy sometimes is when people think they have to be paupers or people think like, oh, well, I can't do that because, you know. I'm thinking, God wants you to enjoy life too. Suppose I love being in my boat. I love flying in my boat. I love when my hair starts falling off because I'm going so fast. I'm a big kid when I'm in my boat. It's probably the most happiest moment I like in my little deal. Unless it's a striper on my reel. Then that's a different story. Then I'm in my boat with a striper, then I'm on vacation. I just bought this incredible lure. Oh, and then, want to hear God blessing me? You want to hear it? I bought one, and the company gave me two. So I called the company up, and this lure is not cheap at all, because it's a school of fish, and it works so well. And so so I call them up, you know, I text them, say, hey, listen, you gave me two. Doesn't respond, no nothing like this. So my friend who knows the guy who knows the company, he says he's a nice guy, he's probably going to let you keep it. Don't worry about it. You call him? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. I know him. He's not going to call you back. I'm like, God, you gave me two of these lures. Then I said, am I going to lose one? Or maybe I give one. I don't know. You see, I want you to understand something. God will give you the things because he knows you too. Don't think like, well, you know, don't let pride get in the way. You know, God is so good. It's like when you have a child, I want to share something with you. It's really, really important. I hope you get this. When you have a child, do you hesitate for giving the child good things? Listen, I've had four boys. And as parents, we did our best to try to bless them. We didn't have much sometimes, but we would take them to the store and say, guys, this is a just because day. Get anything in the store. And they would be, anything, Dad? Yes, anything you want in the store, go get. And I looked at my wife and said, I love dollar stores. But we would do the best we can with what God blessed us with, and we try to bless our children. Why? When you love them, you'll do whatever you need to do for them. Because you love them. And even when they don't do what they're supposed to do, you still love them anyhow. Well, you didn't empty the garbage. Well, you're cut off from the will. You know, we don't do that. We don't do that to our children. I want you to think of God. You don't think God loves to see you do your favorite thing? You don't think God sometimes looks at you while you're laying in your bed sleeping and he goes, oh, look at them sleeping. Oh, so sweet. We do that to our children, don't we? We say this, oh, so sweet. Please stay sleeping. Please stay sleeping. I want you to understand, God sees you, he loves you, and he wants to bless you. Stop being negative about the blessings and the goodness of God. Stop saying, well, I'm not worthy. I'll let you know something. You're not. Neither am I. But he makes you worthy. He's provided for you because he loves you. What does the scripture says in Matthew? Matthew chapter 7. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If then, those who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? Wait a minute. What does that mean? Jabez says he was more honorable. There was a relationship he had with God. And he said, you know what, God? I've kind of had a little bit of a rough life. I would really love you to help me in these areas. And he gave four areas that he wanted help in. And God says, you know what, son? You honored me. I'm going to honor you. Guess what? Boom. God answers his prayer. God wants relationship because relationship is always based by love. How much do you love God?
because that's what's so important. You see, do you remember the story of Genesis 32 with Jacob? Jacob has a situation. He's about to meet Esau that he hasn't seen for a long, long time. I want you to understand something. Jacob's a little worried. Doesn't know if his brother's going to be kind to him or not. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up. And he wrestles with the angel. You want to blow your mind a little bit? I don't know who started it, but here's Jacob wrestling with the angel. I don't think the angel started it. That's what I'm trying to say. I just don't think the angel started this beef. But the angel is wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob must have been okay wrestler because the angel said he couldn't let go until he hit his socket and dislocated his hip. That's right. From a battle, he says, I will not let you go. What was the request? Until you bless me. Now, I want you to get something here. If you go to the book Hosea and you go to chapter 12:4, it gives a story of this story right here that takes place in Genesis. And it says that Hosea was crying out to be blessed. He wasn't just saying, can you bless me? If you get some free time, come on, just bless me. No, he was saying, God, bless me. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I want to be blessed by you. And that's where he became Israel. God changed his name from deceiver to Israel. I'm going to tell you something. It's all based on relationship. It's all based on looking unto the Lord. So where does blessings come from? Where did it start? How did this all thing start? Well, if you look at the word blessed or blessing, 383 references in the scriptures about being blessed. And if you go to Genesis,
I said that three times, so you better be there.
If you go to Genesis chapter 1, it says this. So God created man in his own image. In image God created him. Male and female who created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And over every living creature that moves on the ground. Well, did you get that? God created man and woman and then blessed them. Who started the blessing? Who started the blessing? You know why? Because God is a God who wants to help, wants to bless. It's always about relationship. If you say, and you start comparing yourself, and you start judging this and criticizing this, and what kind of relationship is that going to be with God? God just wants us to simply come humble him and say, you know what, Lord? I can't, but I know you can. Why don't you smile? Give me the biggest smile you can, even behind a mask. Come on. I'm going to pretend I can see it. Come on. Biggest smile. Biggest smile, okay? Biggest smile, biggest smile, crank it up, crank it up, crank it up. Fake it until you make it. You see, there's something happens when you're blessed. It makes you smile. Look at this other portion of scripture found in Genesis chapter 12. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And the Lord says to Abraham, in verse 1 of chapter 12, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Now watch what God says, the God of blessing, the God who's with his people. He says, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you, your name, great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Did you catch this? I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Because I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless everybody else. They're going to be blessed by you. Well, you're going to get more of this because this is what God does. God blesses so you can be a blessing. But you have to first say, God, I want to be blessed. I want to be able to bless you, God, immensely. And I want to tell you something. It says all people on the earth will be blessed through you. Can you imagine that? All the people of the earth have been blessed because of one man walk the walk of faith. Can you imagine that? Look at Noah. Because of one man who is righteous and true to God, today we're here. Because God only saw Noah in the midst where every thought was evil in that day. The Bible says that every thought in man was evil. Every thought. But yet there was one man who stood up, stood out, stood strong. And now we see what happens. The same thing with Abraham, because of what he did. You see, the blessings of God are always more than enough. Someone say more than enough. Someone say they are certainly a blessing coming from God's hand. That was a tough one, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a tough one. Say this one here. It's more than I deserve. God's blessings are always more than you deserve. That's why grace and gratitude should fill our hearts and lives up. That's why it's so important. So let's look at one more in the Old Testament. Excuse me, right there. Old Testament. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph, in Genesis 39, it says, Joseph found favor in Potiphar, his eyes, and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted his care of everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the households of the Egyptians because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Because God blessed Joseph, Potiphar, an ungodly man and ruler of Egypt, commander of the Egyptian army, was blessed. I want you to think about this. Do you see how you can be a blessing, not only to your family, to your job, a blessing to people you know? You can be that type of blessing. How about this? Let's change the way we think. And think of, instead of just being blessed, because that's great, I want to be blessed, but Lord, can you make me a blessing? Make me a blessing to be a blessing to others. Think of that. So that everything that God does for you, you're a conduit, and it can flow out to someone else. Someone say, good. God's blessings need to be received or they're going to be missed. Every one of us has been blessed beyond measure. Listen. We're already blessed people. We're blessed because of what Jesus Christ has done. Every one of us has been blessed beyond measure. Galatians 3:14 says, He redeemed us in order that blessings given to Abraham, you got to catch this one. This one is really powerful. The blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Did you catch that? Do you remember the promise that God made, Genesis 12? That Abraham was going to be a blessing to the whole nation? The transfer of blessing through Jesus Christ. The thing is, sometimes I think we sell ourselves short sometimes because of just the situation we're going through. We look at a situation we're going through. Look at what we're going through now. Going through as individuals, going through as a state, going through as a country. And it gets difficult. In the midst of tough times, you don't think God can still bless, God can still provide, God can still do? He's so more than able, right, Irene? You see, blessings given by Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Can I just tell you, we as God's people need to really be sensitive to the third part of the Trinity, the Spirit of the living God. We sometimes take the Spirit part and we just push it to the side. It is the Spirit part that empowers. It is the Spirit part that leads. It's our sensitivity to God once again in the power of the Spirit of God, so that His works and His giftings flow from the most inner being. We really need to come back to that and understand that we are blessed beyond measure. A friend of mine says this little saying. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Better than I deserve. Better than I deserve." When you look at what Jesus Christ has done for us and how He has already blessed us, boy, we need to sometimes, when we go through a hardship, we need to start saying, "You know what, Lord? I'm going to stop talking about what isn't or what is negative. I'm going to start talking about what You have already done." What does 1 Corinthians tell us? 1 Corinthians 2:8-9 says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, 'No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love Him.'" Can anybody say blessing to come? Huh? I don't know about you, but my liver starts to quiver right about now. You see, God has a great plan, but sometimes we just allow the present situation just to steal the joy. Let me share another one with you. Many people don't recognize the blessings of God because their sight is clouded by their circumstance. What you're going through is affecting how you're thinking, how you're believing. I want to use an example of Peter. How many remember Peter? Anybody remember Peter? Of course we do. A lot of us, how many identify with Peter? Yeah, a lot of people identify Peter. Why? Because he failed so much. So here's one of the moments, incredible moments. Peter's on the boat with all the disciples. Jesus comes walking on the water. They all see Jesus. They don't know who he is. They're scared. Jesus says, hey, it's me. Calm down. And all of a sudden, Peter says, oh, Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you. So here comes Peter. He's in the boat. He takes that first step of faith. Can you believe that first step that had to put all the weight on the water? I'm always amazed about that. Takes his first step, and all of a sudden, da-da, he's on top of the water. Come on, give him applause. He's standing. Oh, woo, he's on the water. And then all of a sudden, he starts walking. Walking, yeah, he's walking on the water. What happened, though? He sunk. He sunk. You see, I want you to understand that this is what's so powerful about this because, see, Peter's focus of power was off the Lord. And his focus now became the power of the storm. You got to get this. You see, he took his eyes, his focus off the true power who had given him the ability to walk on water. Dun, 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 dun. You know? Until he saw the power of the storm that he felt, that he saw, that he said, oh my word, I shouldn't be doing this. And when we get our eyes off the power of God, we will put our focus on another power, another source, and that source will drain us. And we will not become everything God has for us because we're looking at the wrong source. You see, sometimes many people don't recognize the blessing of God is clouded by their sight of their circumstance, their situation that they're going through, and they're thinking, well, it's just not fair. It's just not right. But they don't realize something, that their eyes are clouded by the circumstance because the God of glory is still alive and well. You need to recognize that and realize that God is still God. Even when the winds do blow, and they will. You see, Peter recognized the power of the storm. But you know what the winds and the storms was? It was a distraction. So let me ask you something. If you can't see the blessings of God in your life, what are you being distracted by? That is your winds and your storm, or the water that seems to be getting in your boat. What are you distracted by when you can't see the goodness of what God's going to do, or what God's going to work things out, or your belief system, raising yourself up saying, you know what, God? Your word says this. I know what I see, but I know who I believe in. Because your words do count. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. So what's going to be your daily focus? You see, Jabez's daily focus was God. What's going to be yours? That's something you have to determine. Is your Savior going to be your focus in the midst of tough situations? Hey, listen, we all walk this, don't we, right? Let's be real. Everybody faces problems and situations. I face them every day almost. Somebody has a problem, which is my problem. Somebody has a situation, which becomes my situation. They have a situation here or need wisdom there, need understanding here. This needs to be worked out. There's always something. And sometimes you just have to say, okay, God, I don't know what to do about this one. And God says, well, I do. So just hang on. Be patient. And then we say, patient? Patient? I'm not a doctor. Patient? Patience is the fruit of the Spirit, you see? And so as we trust God and rest in God, it works out the gift or the fruit of patience in us. Listen to what the scripture tells us. I like this in Romans 8:18. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What we're going through right now, the problem, the situation, is nothing compared to what God waits for us in glory.
all of the blessings, all of the provisions, all of the help, all of, and when we get to see this, we're going, oh, my word, Lord, I cannot believe that I acted that way. I am so sorry. We're all going to do it. We're all going to do it. When we look at a situation, it may be huge right here, but when we compare what God has for us, oh, my word, that's making the boat float. Romans chapter 12, how about this one? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Man, that is a mission, saints. God don't want you to just go like, this is a race. What are you doing in races? You run. You win. How many have ever entered a race and you say, I want to lose this one? I want to be the last person in the race. Now, you don't enter a race to lose. If you enter a race to lose, stay home. You enter into a race to win it. You're in it to win it. That's what we should be as believers in Christ. We need to be in it to win it. And though we go through problems and though we go through struggles, you need to recognize it's your Savior over your situation. It's His power over all power. It is God's word over all of your concerns or all of your worries. There's so many who have gone before us, saints. So many of us, so many have gone before us, have struggled, have gone through torture, persecution. All of this, and yet they were willing to lay their life on the line. I think Christianity's gotten a little wimp. When it gets tough, we're crying out saying, God, woe is me. But I will tell you this, saints. God has all things in His hand. And if we really knew everything that He really has and take the word, we probably would live with a different mentality. Let's look at this one here. One more. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that our sight is not clouded by our circumstances when we really see the blessings of God. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when the glory is revealed. Some would say the best yet to come. You see, sometimes God's blessing, but sometimes we're looking at our present situation, and trust me, I get it. I really do. Sometimes it's hard. I've been through plenty of hard situations, hurtful, with just different things. So I get it. But I also know that there is a season, there is a time to mourn, there is a time for sorrow, there is a time, but we don't live in that time alone. Amen? There is also a time where we change the time. I want you to understand this, that there's a song, a hymn song actually, it's Count Your Blessings One by One. How many of you know that song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. I like some of the stanzas. It says, when upon life billows are tempest tossed, when you're discouraged thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings and see what God has done. Are you ever burdened and loaded with care? Does the cross seem heavy and you are called to bear? Count your blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the day goes by. So amid the conflict, great, whether great or small, don't be discouraged. God is over all. Count your blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give to you on your journey. End. Man's a promise that God says, I'm going to stay there with you. I'm going to stay there with you. You're not walking alone. But how many times we feel that we're alone? You know, God who wants to bless us wants to always pick us up. He always wants to pick us up. But sometimes we feel like we're on the journey alone. I know I have felt I've been on the journey alone for, oh my word, I can't tell you. But I also know when I have those moments, I also know I'm not alone. Because Jesus is right by your side. Remember the pilgrims? How many remember the pilgrims? If you did, if no one can remember the pilgrims, I'm going to give you a little history lesson right now. The pilgrims, when they came to this new land, there was 106 of them.
out of the 106, 45 died in the first year of the first winter. 45 out of the 106. Do you know that as soon as the weather came and they survived the winter, that's when they had the so-called the Thanksgiving dinner. And you know what they did? They gave thanks to God. Now I want you to think of this. Almost half of them died in less than a year, and they gave thanks to God. When we face some problems in our lives, where is our gratitude? Where is the faith? Where is this aspect of saying, you know what, God? As the scripture says, though you slay me, I will trust you. Where is that type of attitude? To trust the Lord to that immense and say, God, no matter what, no matter what, I'm going to trust you. Don't let your struggles prevent you from seeing the blessings of God. Because when I look at the pilgrims and seeing all of the harm that they had, they were still thankful. Let me close this up by giving you one more. Because the request to be blessed, Jabez has a quest and says, Lord, bless me. A request to be blessed. I want you to start requesting God to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Do you know when you feel like you're blessed, do you know you'll smile more? I had you smile before because you know that an adult will only smile no more than 10 times a day. And most of you adults are lacking. But you know what a kid do? A kid, they will smile over 100 times a day. They will smile. They will laugh. You know why? They don't feel the pressure. They're just enjoying life. One minute they're complaining, next minute they're laughing. We could learn a real good example about asking God to bless us, because when you know you are blessed, even though you're in a mess, but you know you're blessed, you can smile more. Come on, just smile more. Come on. Smile. Oh, I just see those masks going like this. You know, it's really... I want to give you three things about the request to be blessed so you can be a blessing to others. This is important. The first one is Jesus wants to bless you, bless us, because he loves us. That's why, the bottom line, he loves you. You don't have to earn his blessing. Oh, I got to do this. Let me tell you something. Jabez was more honorable, so his belief and behavior matched up. It's important. But all that being said, it's really the heart. You don't have to be perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't have to be perfect. People who go through life, so believers who go through life acting like they're perfect and they have all that in a bag of chips, need some help. Jesus wants to bless us because he loves us. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. Can someone say every? Someone say God's given benefits and blessings. You were talking about bed and breakfast. Well, with God, it's blessings and benefits. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a blessing. Kind of goes with this next one here, because Jesus blessed us to provide a way out of sin. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that God came into this guy and saved me. I am so grateful for the gospel. I'm so grateful that he kept me alive to accept him as Savior. I'm so grateful. Acts 3:26 says, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from their iniquities, their sin. Jesus came. His reason, the Bible says he came to bless you. Come and say, someone say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you need to be quick with that one. I'm going to say that again. I want you to respond. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus came to bless you. Amen. You still missed it. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died on the cross. Man, we are blessed by the best, and we need to go tell the rest how to be blessed. How about this one?
The request to be blessed is to be a blessing to others because Jesus wants to bless us so we can be a blessing to others. It's not all about you. You're not all that in a bag of chips.
You need to recognize that God wants to bless you. Absolutely. He said,
and actually, I got to let you know something. There's a word there in the Hebrew where it says indeed.
Now, some translations doesn't carry that. It just says bless me. But in the Hebrew, it says this word indeed. And what that means is, oh, Lord, bless me greatly. Lord, oh, Lord, bless me abundantly. It's a descriptive to say, Lord, bless me. But, Lord, I really, really want to be blessed. So I can be that blessing.
Acts 20:35 says, remember the words of the Lord himself.
Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to. Oh, my word. Then how's your giving? How's your giving? How is your giving while you're living? And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about your time. That's even greater than finances. How much time do you give unto the Lord for service and servitude?
You see, the book comes down to this story that Bruce Wilkinson shares in the book. It's quite interesting. He says there was a man, he gives his name in the book, and let's call him Tom, or I'll call him Louis. Louis. I have a lot of friends, Louis. And so Louis goes up to heaven, and there's the angel there, and he's given a tour of heaven. And as he's given a tour, he's looking, and he sees this one house. It's gigantic. It's like a castle. It's all white. And on the door, there's a giant padlock. And so he sees this giant padlock, the biggest padlock he's ever seen in his life. And he sees this gigantic building. And he asks about it. And the angel says, yeah, don't worry about that house. We'll get in there someday. Let's just leave that alone. And he gives the tour of heaven and stuff like this. And everywhere he goes in heaven, he could just see this giant building. And so he finally gets around, comes around the corner and says, I really need to know what's in here. He says, I'd rather you not go in there. Not now. There'll be a time for that. He says, no, I need to go in. So he unlocks the big giant lock, and there he goes. He goes in, and oh my word, the beauty that he saw. It was these giant boxes. They were so beautifully gift wrapped with ribbons and bows. They were the most beautiful boxes he has ever seen in his life. But he noticed something to the box. Every box had a name. He says, there's a name on this. He says, yes. There's a name on that one. He says, yes. There's a name on that one. He says, yes. He said, do I have one? He said, yes. And there he goes, looking for his box, alphabetical order. I don't know. He finds his box, and he opens it up, and all of a sudden, he starts to weep. And the angel says, I told you, this was not the time. And he says, well, I understand and I don't understand. What is really this? Because I think I know. He said, well, God has provided so much for his people, but his people don't always receive it. These are all the things you could have had with God if you just would have asked and sought him for them. And I believe there's a little truth in it. I think, and I've said that to myself many times, I'm thinking, God, I don't want to miss anything God has for me. I really don't. And as I go through my own transition myself, I really focus more on that, of just lining up with God, just lining with God. Not so much worrying about this, but just worrying about this. Because I don't want to miss anything that God has. I don't want to miss an opportunity with someone. Every person I come in contact, I try, especially when I'm out and about, I try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do the same thing because people are hurting. People are hurting. People need a friend. People need a word. People need a hand up. People don't need criticism. No, they don't need criticism. They don't need your judgment. They just need your help. They need your love. They need to know that they are special and fearfully and wonderfully made.
I don't know where you are today, but I hope that Jesus is your Savior. Not religion, because religion never saves anybody. And if you're watching online, listen, religion doesn't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. He's the only one that can make the difference in you and through you. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's very simple. Ask God, God, I've messed up. I've done it my ways. I've been stubborn. When I was younger, so stubborn.
But one day I recognized I needed a Savior, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. He changed my life. He's still changing my life. He's still changing my life. Because Jesus died for you. And on the third day, he rose again. Just right now, tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned. Come into my life. I choose you. I know you died for me and rose from the dead. What a beautiful prayer that can change you. And then for those that know the Lord, then ask God, God, I so much want to be blessed so I can be a blessing to others. I really want my life to count, but in order to give something, I need to receive something, Lord. So I want to receive of you so I can give what I need to give. Give of my time, give of my talents, give of my ability, give of my finances. Whatever God gives you, use it as a tool to be a blessing to the kingdom and to other people. And I believe with all my heart, God will touch you. Accepting Jesus Christ is the most important thing. And secondly, walk in his ways, his word, his works, and his will. And as you pray, God bless me, he's going to bless you abundantly. Let me just close by giving you the blessing that the priest would give upon the people of Israel. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, really verses, we're going to go from 22 following, and it says this: The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his son, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This is what God wants to do. God always wants to bless his people. God wants to bless you online, but you got to come to him. Saints, you got to start to be all in. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for who you are and all that you've done. Now, Lord, will you just minister to each heart here? Lord, whether our thinking has been negative, maybe our circumstances have been overbearing and heavy, that has not allowed us to see that you have been there. You have been blessing, providing, strengthening, helping, guiding. So many blessings around us, Lord, have been pushed to the side because all of our energy and all our focus have just been in one area. And in that, Lord, it has drained us, not filled us. And I pray right now that individuals will start to allow the attitude of gratitude to fill their hearts and their lives as they find daily dependence with you every day in prayer and in the word as they build that relationship so that you, God, can build them. And so bless them so they can be a blessing to your kingdom, to your church, and to those that come into their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Let's continue to believe that God is going to do a work in all of our lives and in his church, despite our current circumstances. If you would like to support the ministry of Salem First Assembly, you can do so by mailing to 430 Route 45, Salem, New Jersey, 08079, or by visiting our website at salemfirstag.org. Please join us for service next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., or you can watch service every Sunday afternoon on Facebook at Salem First Assembly or YouTube at Salem First AG. You can also listen to the message every Tuesday on Podbean. Have a blessed rest of your day. Let's remember to be a blessing, and that life is living in faith every day.